This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. People in Turkey and Syria continue dealing with the aftermath of an earthquake that has so far killed 36,000. And that number is expected to climb as thousands of others are still missing. Compare that to the 2011 earthquake that devastated the Fukushima area of Japan, which resulted in the deaths of more than 19,000 people. To this day, another 2,500 are still unaccounted for from that. Experts say the quake in Syria and Turkey was particularly severe because the epicenter was on the East Anatolian Fault, which is what's known as a strike-slip fault. There's one of those in America, too. The San Andreas in California is also a strike-slip fault. Since the earthquake and its aftershocks, many organizations and individuals, including Illinoisans, have been working to help. Joining us now to talk more about that is Amina Demir, Chief Operations Officer for the Zakat Foundation of America, a charitable organization based in Chicagoland. Amina, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it greatly.
Also with us is Noor Longhi, a reporter with the Illinois Student Newsroom, which, like the 21st Show, is part of Illinois Public Media. Noor, welcome to you. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, as ever, you're welcome to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Amina, I want to begin with you. How did you react to the news of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria?
So it was Sunday evening, and I received a few text messages. My friends and family here locally, they're aware that we are from the southeast region in Turkey, and I received a few text messages, and unfortunately, I don't mean to sound callous, but as you had stated, earthquakes are a common trend in Turkey, and so, you know, it was something that I didn't react to right away. You know, I said, no one in my family has been hurt. Everyone is fine. And then early Monday morning, my father received a phone call that my aunt's building had shaken so hard that it threw her out of her bed. And then as the building began to collapse, she was able to get out. And once we heard that, and of course, it's so different when it's the intimate family members. Once we heard that, and then we understood the magnitude of the earthquake, obviously, you know, the emotions changed. It became a very close reality, unfortunately.
How is your aunt doing now?
My aunt, she has teenage daughters. They're sleeping in the car at the moment. With Zakat Foundation of America, we're trying to focus on pop-up tent distributions, emergency relief distributions, hygiene kits. The unfortunate truth is, Zakat Foundation, we're so prominent in the region due to the Syrian crisis. And so majority of our resources are already focused on emergency relief aid. So we were able to react, you know, having everything at our fingertips, we were able to react as soon as it happened. But she's safe. Everyone, you know, we're doing as best as we can.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that under terrible circumstances. When you mentioned the Syrian crisis, you're talking about, of course, the long war there and the many, many refugees that have had to flee into Turkey.
Yes, precisely. Yeah. Working at the border, I had visited Hatay, I think it was 6 years ago. We had there's a small Kurdish Syrian population. And of course, I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, the longstanding history with Kurds. And the Turkish government wasn't reacting as swiftly to the Kurdish Syrians due to that political conflict. And so we had opened up a women's clinic. And then again, we provided emergency relief aid, so immediate aid. Not so much the sustainability, the long term, because of course no one is anticipating, you know, a war is going to be long term. But we have a very strong presence in the region.
Noor Longhi, I want to bring you into the conversation now. But before I do, you shared some audio from the University of Illinois Turkish Student Association president. Let's listen to that.
The numbers doesn't mean anything to you, but then you started to see the pictures, like, I'm mentioning 10 cities, and like some of them are completely disappeared. I don't know how to explain my feelings, but we are deeply saddened. We are hurt. Some of our parts, like our hearts are beating with Turkey.
So Noor, thank you for sending that along. What else have you been hearing from the people you've been talking to?
I think I've been talking to a lot of students and faculty, and a lot of them are just saying that it's really hard to be expected to continue to carry on with normal life, coursework, school, classes, when you have all of your like family and friends, like so many people that you know in Turkey or Syria, and you're just expected to continue like living your normal life here. And then another sentiment that was really common was feeling really helpless because you're here and you're so lucky to be here and not in those areas, but you see your family and your people struggling. So a lot of them are just feeling really hopeless right now.
Are they asking for help from the university or from outside groups?
Yeah, so the Turkish Student Association has been emailing the university, but they're saying they're not getting a response, but they really want the university to show support for their students during this time. So they want them to send out a mass email and like provide channels for donation links and raise more awareness, but they're not getting that right now.
Amina, we just heard Noor talking about students and some faculty having a hard time focusing while, you know, thinking of family and friends back home overseas. The same can be said for adults, right? Can you talk more about that? What something like this, if what effect it has on people over here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, it's difficult. So I've been in the NGO sector for roughly 15 years. And, you know, I hate to say I'm familiar with conflict, both the natural and political. But I think when it happens to a country that is seemingly very stable and the leader in both Europe and the Middle East, and then I think what, I'm sorry, I'm trying to think through my emotions.
I understand. Yeah.
I think what's so upsetting is, you know, we read and we, as the young lady had stated, you know, we watch these videos and we look at these pictures, and what perturbed me the most is the number that was climbing. You know, when we first heard it was, you know, 2,000, 3,000. And then as the number just increases, and then you hear of individuals that you know firsthand, you know, one of my best friends, she lost her cousin. She was stuck under the rubble, and, you know, the whole family tried to get together and, you know, pull this rubble off. And I don't know if you could ever get used to death at such a scale. And then again, not to be morbid, but seemingly and such an unfair death. I know that sounds so juvenile, but you know, when it's a death and it's a natural disaster, it's so damning. I've had trouble, you know, to be real. It's just, I hope answered your question.
There's nowhere to channel your anger, right? There's not a dictator or someone else that you can sort of point the finger of blame at.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about how people in Illinois are responding to the terrible earthquake in Turkey and Syria a little more than a week ago. As we just heard, unfortunately, the death toll has surpassed 36,000 people as we go to air this morning, and that number is expected to get higher as there are still thousands missing. We're talking about this with Noor Longhi, who's a reporter with the Illinois Student Newsroom, part of Illinois Public Media, our home station, and Amina Demir, Chief Operations Officer with the Zakat Foundation of America, which is a charitable organization based in Chicagoland. Amina, what do people need to understand about the people of this region of Turkey and Syria?
I think, so my father, bless his heart, he always taught me that this area, so we're from Şanlıurfa, which is right off of the Euphrates. And, you know, the Tigris and the Euphrates River, they split off and it's two, you know, it's home of civilization, right? It's Mesopotamia.
Yeah, cradle of civilization, they say, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I romanticize. I was a history major, and so I romanticize these scenarios. But the people of this region, they're very, very, they're very resilient, and I think they have to be. You know, my grandmother, may God bless her soul, I'm named after her, Emine Demir. She lost three of her children after they were born, and like, you know, they died in her arms. And my father, he didn't have electricity until he was 16. My father, he was, again, we're Kurds, and he was exiled from Turkey, and he walked at 19. He walked from Turkey to Switzerland. And I don't even know what I was doing at 19. I don't even know what I was doing at 19. So the people of this region, they're very resilient. They're hardcore. And, you know, it takes a lot to like bring them down. And, you know, it's, again, we're dealing with the Syrian political conflict. We're dealing with a recession. We're dealing with inflation. We're dealing with winter of all the times for something like this to happen. You know, it's cold. And then this occurs, you know, it's a very, very unique group of people. They are truly.
If talk more about what your organization does over there. You mentioned that you've been active with crisis, sort of in crisis mode for a long time now. You mentioned some of the pop-up tents and hygiene kits. How do you get the materials from here to there? How does that work?
You know, Turkey is a really well-off country as is. So majority of the items that are required would typically just ship straight from Istanbul or Ankara. Honestly, so Caf Nation of America, we have seven offices internationally, and majority of our items, whether it's pens, book bags, even like those like yellow neon vests you see, majority of our items are actually made in Istanbul and we ship them out. As far as warm meals, we have two offices. We have one in Ankara and then we have one in Gaziantep. The one in Gaziantep has been affected. The outside didn't break down, but the interior, like no one can work inside. And so, like I said, we do have the resources just readily available in storage. But we're really trying to get a mobile clinic out there. I don't know what the logistics are at the moment, but I've been communicating with the programs department. I was on the call with the Turkish ambassador in DC last week, and he's like, we just need mobile clinics outside of like the emergency relief efforts. So that's what our focus is at the moment. So we have the kits, we have the emergency kits, the hygiene kits, the warm food, but now we're just trying to get a mobile clinic available to the people ASAP.
And is it more challenging to help the people still in Syria? I guess maybe that's obvious, but because of the conflict situation there?
Yeah, majority of our work, I would say the past 5 to 6 years, we typically work at the border with refugees in Turkey, Syrian refugees in Turkey. Getting aid to and from Syria, it's a lot of red tape. You know, I mean, another sad reality is that these regions that need the most help, it's the most complicated space to get to. You look at Somalia, you look at Afghanistan, you look at Syria, like all of these areas are in dire need of aid and assistance. But if it's not the government, you know, there's banking issues, there's people, it's dangerous. So yeah, we're not working with the Syrians in Syria. We're working with the Syrian community in Turkey, the refugees at the border.
Noor, can you talk about how the people that you've been reporting on, how are they working to get aid back over to Turkey and Syria?
Yeah, so initially you have a bunch of organizations on campus. So the Turkish Student Association, the Muslim Student Association, they're sharing links to other donation channels, like bigger donation channels, national ones. But just recently, actually, they're starting to raise their own funds and hold campus-wide fundraisers. So today and Wednesday on the main quad, right outside the Illini Union in Urbana, the Turkish Student Association is going to be accepting donations via cash or Venmo and physical donations of those household items that people really need, like blankets, menstrual products, canned foods. They're also selling Turkish coffee in order to fundraise. They're also looking to partner with like local businesses. So they really want to raise awareness by spreading the message any way they can. So for example, they draped the Turkish flag over the alma mater statue over the past weekend. So they're really just trying to raise awareness and help any way they can.
Amina, if people are listening now and they want to help, what should they do?
Please feel free to visit www.zakat.org. We have an ongoing campaign, as Noor has stated, you know, immediate emergency relief items, and that includes, you know, feminine products, blankets, meals. And of course, forgive me if I sound cheesy, but of course, just, you know, the prayer, the good energy, wherever your compass, wherever your center is, You know, we need that positivity and education, right? That's the source of everything, you know, understanding what has led the financial situation of Turkey, where it's at today, the Syrian crisis. When you look at things holistically, it humanizes the situation, despite it being a natural disaster.
And money, I mean, can you just talk briefly? You mentioned that a lot of your material you procure in Turkey itself. Is money the best way that people can support? I mean, you're not necessarily looking for drop-offs of, you know, sort of a package of goods from Sam's Club or anything like that. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, monetary donations are key at the moment. We're trying our best to, we're blessed, of course, you know, we have our bank accounts, we have our offices already there that, you know, had ongoing transfers sent out, already scheduled. So we have the means, but of course, monetary donations, just to assess the situation, allow people some form of stability amidst all this nonsense. Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Amina Demir is the Chief Operations Officer with the Zakat Foundation of America. Noor Longhi is a reporter with the Illinois Student Newsroom. Amina and Noor, thank you so much for being with us today on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Amina, particularly best luck to your family in Turkey. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.